Well, we have, in our study of the book of Proverbs, we've seen the benefits of wisdom. We've seen the call to wisdom from Solomon as he calls out to those who, his sons, those who would follow after him and listen to his teachings. We've seen even wisdom personified, calling out to those to follow after her and to learn of wisdom. This morning we want to look at specifically at the value of wisdom. And this will be a couple of different passages put together. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, and Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 22, starting in verse 17, and follow along with us. But the first thing that we see, the first value of wisdom, and as we think of the value of wisdom, you know, we've seen the benefits and different things like that. But why? Why study this book? Why look at the book of Proverbs? Why dig into it? Why memorize these things? And why even try? Well, there are some values to wisdom, some purposes to this wisdom that this book will cover and will help us with. And that first one is pleasantness. Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 22, it says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge." So this ties in with the call that he says to come along and listen to this wisdom, to hear these things and these wisdom words of the wise and then apply them to the knowledge. For, verse 18, "It will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that you may be ready, they may be ready on your lips." So as you incline your ear to these things means to listen to them. And I think of the New Testament, of course, the tie-ins to the New Testament. And in the book of Romans, it says, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It is so important that we hear these things, and that we do that with our ears. And there's something about a personal interaction with somebody that is far more effective than even writing something out. You know, Jesus, as he ministered, he could have spent all of his time writing books, right? Self-help books and scripture books. Everything would have been inspired, of course, because it would have come from the hand of Jesus. And he could have handed that off to his disciples and said, "Here you go. Here's a treasury of knowledge. Just read it and follow it." But that's not what he did, is it? He didn't write a single thing. But what he did was preach. What he did was speak with people. What he did was interact with people. Because he understood that the more senses that you involve in your learning, of course, the more you will understand and the better you will be able to learn these things. And so it is important for us to incline our ears, spiritual ears as well as real ears, to the words of the wise that are written here in the book of Proverbs, but also throughout the whole scriptures as well. And apply our minds to those knowledge. That means not just hearing them, but putting them into practice in our lives, putting your mind, engaging your mind to think about these things, to dwell on them, to let them roll around in your mind a lot as you memorize them, as you ponder them, as you meditate on them and think about them. Because as you do this, it will be pleasant within you. I think of Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. Also it says, "For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Because as you hear, as you begin to apply these things in your heart and in your mind, it will be pleasant to you as that knowledge enters in. It will give pleasantness to your soul even. Because you will experience the peace of God and you experience the Holy Spirit working in you and you will see that. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy or everything's going to be fun all the time, but it will be pleasant. These words will be pleasant to your soul. It says to keep them within you for the purpose of putting them again into practice in your life. How important that is to keep them and put them into practice, not just hear, but be doers of the word as well. He says here, so that our trust may be in God. Actually, I think I'm going to jump back. Verse 18, I forgot part of verse 18. That they may be ready on your lips. On your lips means that you're speaking these truths to other people. Proverbs really, one of the commentators put it this way, I think it was Matthew Henry, said, Proverbs is portable truth. It can be transmitted to others easily. And that's the great thing about these pithy sayings, you know, that Solomon puts in here. He writes them in clever ways and in such a way that they're easy to remember and easy to repeat, so that when you come across people, you can be able to transmit them easily. These proverbs are really like t-shirt sayings of the wise. Now, I'm looking forward to this Father's Day because I'm getting for Father's Day a bunch of t-shirts that have Bible verses written on them and a couple of graphics and different things that I'm hoping to wear to work with me as I go to work, and so I can have a witness even on the t-shirts that I wear. But those little t-shirt sayings, and there's some really neat ones that are out there. If you search through Christian t-shirts, there's all kinds of neat stuff and that you can find. And they're sayings that are short, concise. People can see in an instant with their eyes, and they get it. They just get it, you know? It just makes sense. One of the ones that I already have, it's a t-shirt, but it has on it, looks like a sticker, one of those "Hello, my name is" stickers, and it says "Hello, my name is Forgiven," and it looks like a real sticker. I mean, I own the shirt, and I feel like I should peel the sticker off sometimes. It looks that real, but when I wear that, I wore that to work a couple of times, and I've had a couple people looking at that. You know, especially when I first started, because when you first start, you go through orientation, you really do wear one of those. And they were looking, they're like, "You're done with orientation. What do you have that stick?" Oh. Then they finally get it. You know, so that's what Proverbs really is. This book, it's easy to remember. It's easy to share these things with other people. They're like refrigerator magnets of truth. I love those refrigerator magnets. Or bumper stickers of wisdom. I can imagine, you know, during the days of Solomon, you had a wooden cart, you know, and maybe you, instead of a bumper sticker, maybe they had to carve it into the back bumper of their wooden cart, you know, Hebrew letters about one of these proverbs or something like that. But that's the idea here. It's short sayings that will be pleasant for people to hear. It will catch their attention, and it will be a good witness. So, that's the first one. The second one is to trust in God. These truths will help you to trust God further. Verse 19 says, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have taught you today, even you." This instruction is so that we will learn to trust God more. And as you put these things into practice, you begin to see, oh, God is faithful in this. That as I do this, I experience the pleasantness of my soul, and I really do begin to see these things making a difference in my life as I put them into practice. So it causes you to trust in God even further and gain in that faith, growing in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "I've taught you today, even you." This instruction is not just for everyone. It is for individuals. For you, and for you, and for you, 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 all of you. Each of you individually, okay? It is for you. So he has written these things so that we might know them and that we personally might grow as a result of them, trusting in God more as the day goes on and as time goes on and as we put these things into practice. So the third one that he mentions is to confirm the truth. This is helpful for us as we study the Word of God and we begin to see and have some of our questions answered. We begin to confirm that truth in our own hearts and our own minds. It begins to not only build our faith in who God is, but also confirm that truth in us. He says, "Have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge?" Again, these things are inspired scripture, things that God has given to us. That's why they are excellent things. They come from God himself. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. These are excellent, excellent truths, because the Bible is so much different than any other writing that is out there, because it is actual words of God, the words that God breathed out himself. He says in verse 21, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you. As you really envelop this material, as you let it saturate your heart and your mind, it will settle in there and make it even more certain, the truths that you believe. You know, I think of that in regards to looking at apologetics and different things. You know, we look at the creation of the world. We read the creation story of God created the earth and everything, the heavens and everything in them in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Well, that's truth. That's out there. It's in the scriptures. But as you continue to read the scriptures and begin to know God, it helps us to even confirm that truth even further, because each passage speaks to other passages and they intertwine with each other and confirm each other and help us to understand the Lord even more. We're certain of those truths more and more as we study what the Word of God says. And not only that, but it helps us to answer those who might have a question. And that's the next one, number four. As you become confirmed in these truths, as these truths settle within you, it's easier to answer those people who might come along and question some of these truths. I have grown in this throughout the years. I was not very good at answering people. I've never been really great at that. But I've gained in my understanding and able to answer people a little bit better as time goes on. Verse 21 says, to make known the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you. Might correctly answer him who sent you. Because we want to share these truths with other people. And how important that is. I think of 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 in the New Testament says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You see, it's not enough just to learn these truths for ourselves, to experience the pleasantness and all of the benefits of wisdom that come from it, but to be able to share them with other people so that they might know them, we always need to be ready to give that defense. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is even your own testimony. Just share how you came to know Christ. Because what is somebody going to say about your testimony? You know, if I start sharing with somebody, you know, I came to faith in Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old. You know, I started going to church and had a Sunday school teacher that shared the gospel. What are they going to say to me? No, that's not true. They don't know. They've never been there. They can't deny your experience. So it's a great way to share the gospel with other people, is to be ready with even your own testimony. And then as you continue to grow, you have the sayings of Proverbs, and you'll have those things on the tip of your tongue. You'll be able to share those with people and help people to understand. So all of these things are helpful for us in correctly answering those who sent us. How important that is. The fifth one. Oh, there's the 1 Peter 3:15 passage. But the fifth one is discernment. Being able to discern and know right from wrong, being able to have direction. The verses, now this is back in Proverbs chapter 1, so if you want to switch over to Proverbs chapter 1, notice how these things fit together. We're finally getting to the beginning of the book. That sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But we're going to the first part of the book, and Solomon does start off by sharing, you know, the value, as he opens up his book, the value of studying the scriptures and studying the book of Proverbs. But we want to combine these two ideas because he gives a number of them, as we saw in chapter 22. But this discernment, verses 1 and 2 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So that puts it in historic context, tells us exactly who it is who has written these things. This is the Solomon, the king, the one who was the son of David. And he is the one who writes these things, for he is the one who has been blessed by God with wisdom above all of his contemporaries throughout the whole entire world at that time. Probably second only to the Lord Jesus in his wisdom and his understanding of these incredible truths. But incredibly wise man. But these are his proverbs and the sayings that he had. He says, why did he write these things? Why did he put these things down and share these things with the nation of Israel specifically? To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. As one reads again and again the wisdom that is included in the book of Proverbs and prayerfully and consistently applies it in his life, he trains himself in righteous living. And really, the book of Proverbs is a training manual for life. You know, you have training manuals for all kinds of things that you can get out there. We were over at one of the supply stores the other day, and they had training manuals on how to can and how to raise chickens and how to all these other things that you might need, how to build habitats for animals and all this kind of stuff. Training. Well, this book is a training for life. How do I live? How do I please God? How do I live in communion with Him and with one another on this earth? And how do I share the gospel? How do I answer people? How do I interact with people? All of those things are given to us in the scriptures and help us. This wisdom and instruction gives us that understanding to discern these sayings of understanding as well. Difficult things to understand sometimes. Through studying the scriptures, you can be able to understand deeper things in spiritual sense. Discern means to examine or to observe. So to examine or observe the sayings of understanding. So you can look at these difficult things to understand and be able to observe them and be able to understand them, absorb them, and be able to put them into practice. So again, important things for us as we look at the scriptures to be able to have value in these things. And we've already seen, as Solomon has said, we need to value this word, the book of Proverbs, as we would gold or silver or precious stones. And here is why. Because these things will give us this kind of understanding and help us with everyday life situations. This training manual. You know, again, as a training manual, people often say, well, there's no training manual for life. Yeah, there is. It's right here. It's in the book of Proverbs. So if we will apply our minds to it, then we will learn and we will be better off as a result of it. The next one, number 6, is prudence for the naive. Verses 3 and 4 says, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. We want to hit that first part, to give prudence to the naive. The naive is the one who is highly impressionable, who is open to all sorts of influences, both good and bad. He lacks the know-how and the discretion to distinguish the one from the other, Jay Adams said in his commentary. And of course, you know, we generally think of those who are very young, who just have no experience, that are the naive. But there are those who are naive, who go through life, who are much older and just go along with the flow. They don't even care. They don't even examine. They don't even think about anything of deep spiritual value. Those people can be naive as well, because the naive don't ask the hard questions and just believe everything that they are told. They don't ask, how did the universe begin? They don't ask, what will happen to me when I die? They don't want to think about stuff like that. They would rather stay naive oftentimes than to think about what's going to happen to them when they die. Another question that they don't like to ask is, who am I and why do I do the things that I do? What propels me to have the behavior that I have in my life? And of course, the big question, right? What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? And why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Some people don't like to ask those questions. They would rather stay ignorant and naive of any of that stuff and just kind of go along with the flow. And let's not worry about those things. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow we're going to die, maybe. I don't know. And who knows what's going to happen after that. And I don't want to think about it. Don't bother me with the details. Well, the scriptures, as we study the book of Proverbs, will help us to get past that naivete and be able to understand what is going on, give us prudence to be able to live in this world. And so it's so important to look into the scriptures. If you're naive, to look into the book of Proverbs and find these truths and to see these things for yourself and to gain that discernment. And also, as we saw in verse 4, to give the youth knowledge and discretion. We see that discretion for the youth in verse 4. To give the youth that discretion. Discretion means purpose. To be able to see where you're going and what you're going to do, to get that discretion and to be able to know how to navigate those things. And how important that is for a young person. You know, young people oftentimes don't know what direction they should be heading. And they're scattered throughout, you know, just so many different paths that are out there. How do you know which way to go? How do you know which direction to face? Well, this book will give you the prudence that you need, give you the knowledge and the discretion to have a direction to go into and to follow. That's what God's word will help us to be able to do. So especially you young people, you need to look at the book of Proverbs. You need to be in this book as often as you possibly can. If there's one book that I would encourage you to read on a daily basis, it would be the book of Proverbs. How important it is to be able to look at these verses. That number 8, to increase in learning. Now, you might say, okay, that's fine for the naive. It's fine for the youth. You know, they're young. They need to hear these truths. They need to grow in this knowledge. But I'm older. I believe in God. I know God's word. I have some of it memorized. And I believe it. I'm confirmed in it. You know, I have arrived. I don't need to study God's word anymore. What's the point of reading the book of Proverbs? It's for the naive and for the young. Oh, but no, it is not. Look at verses 5 and 6. If I can get there, we go. 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the word of the wise and their riddles. The wonderful thing about the scriptures is because it is God-breathed, it is inspired by God, there is deeper things that you will see in the scriptures every time you read it. And every time I've read through the scriptures, the whole entire Bible, I have caught something new. Something that I didn't see in the Bible before. And that's the great thing about the scriptures. You're always learning something new. And those who are wise will become wiser still as they study the things that are in the Bible. And so this book, as Matthew Henry put it, this book will not only make the foolish and bad wise and good, but it will make the wise and good wiser and better. And it's so true. As you study the scriptures, as you study specifically the book of Proverbs, it will make you even wiser still. I think of Peter, leader of the disciples, right? And in what he writes in 2 Peter 3:16 concerning the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 16, "As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Peter says of the Apostle Paul, Paul writes some stuff that's difficult to understand. And Paul was, or Peter was learning things from the Apostle Paul. That's amazing to me as he studied the scriptures and saw what Paul was writing by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that he was growing in his understanding and increasing in his learning and wisdom, and was able to see some of these dark sayings that dark in the sense that they're not evil, but dark in the sense that you can't see them clearly. It's hard to understand some of these things. And there are some things in the Bible that are difficult for us to grasp, difficult for us to understand, and we wrestle with them sometimes, and it only comes by continuing to study the Word. We gain knowledge and continue to grow in these things. So we must continue to learn. We must continue to put into practice these things. The last one is the final one, the fear of the Lord. The final value that we have that Solomon gives to us is to gain the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is in certain places in the scriptures, the phrase has really become, as somebody put, a semi-technical term, meaning to be in a right relationship to God through saving faith. Oh, that person fears the Lord. That means they're in right relationship with God. We see that a number of times throughout the Old Testament. Because to fear the Lord, and this really is the theme verse for the whole book of Proverbs, to fear the Lord is to have a reverent honor and respect for God. It is to look at Him in awe and say, "Wow, God, You are amazing." And that is the beginning of wisdom, to recognize that God truly is, and that He is a rewarder of those who would diligently seek Him. That is the beginning of knowledge. Fools turn away from that. They despise the Lord. They despise God's word. They have no respect or honor for God. They would rather use God's name and His character as a curse word than have honor for it and to think high thoughts of who God is. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so to really truly understand this book, first of all, you have to honor God. And so it begins to feed in on itself. We learn, of course, about who God is from the scriptures. Then we come to that place where we fear God, and the more that we fear God, the more we get back into the scriptures and study and understand. So here is this manual for life. It has great value in it. And you must apply yourself diligently to it. And not just hearing it, like we said, but putting it into practice. You know, I used to play golf about 15 years ago. I think I played golf. And I used to go out when I was pastoring in Orville, Ohio. We would, the elders would go out for staff meetings out on the golf course, right? So we would go out and discuss things together and we would golf. And I'm a terrible golfer. And I was even worse when I first started out for the staff meetings. But one of the guys that would come with us, he wasn't an elder, but he was definitely training to be one and just a great guy. But he would go golfing with us, and he played golf in college. And he was really, really good. A lot better than any of the other pastors, and of course, and just would beat us up all the time as far as his golf score. But I, you know, here I am. I've got the club and I'm hacking away, and just the balls are shanking off right and left and just going all over the place. His name was Michael. Michael, this man that used to golf when he was in college, said, "Ethan, you know, you ought to try to interlock your grip. So take your pinky and take your forefinger and lock them in there, and then grab your club, and that will keep your hands together, and it'll give you a little more control of your club. And so I heard what he had to say. I said, okay, that sounds good. But I took it further than that, and I tried it. And I actually practiced it with it a little bit. And it was a little uncomfortable at first when I first started off, because it just felt weird to hold that club like that. But I put that interlocking grip, and then I started swinging with it. And you know, after a little while, my shots started going straighter. And I enjoyed golf a lot more. And it was a lot of fun. You know, spiritually, that's the way the book of Proverbs is for us. As we fear God, and as we not only hear God's word, but begin to apply it and put it into practice in our life, we begin to see things change in our life. We see our shots go straighter. We begin to experience the pleasantness of playing the game. Because this book is a manual for our lives, so that we might not only understand and know God better, but that we might live our lives a better way for Him. So here's my challenge to you. Get into this book. Get into the book of Proverbs. If you've never studied it before, it's beautiful, 31 chapters. If the month has 31 days, chapter a day. It's May 16th. Oh, reading chapter Proverbs 16 today. It's easy to remember. It's easy to follow. And don't just hear it. Don't just read it. Let it sink into your heart. Let it sink into your mind and put it into practice in your life. And see what God might do in allowing you to grow in Him, allowing you to know Him better, and see all of these values that wisdom will be in your life. For He has written this for you. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank You for these truths. Thank You for giving us this manual for life. And I pray that we would apply ourselves to it. Nor, we're not going to learn it just by osmosis. We have to really work at it, put it into practice, believe that Your word is valuable to us and that it will help us and give us that pleasantness in our spirit. So help us with these things. Guide us, teach us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.